Good morning. Firstly, let me wish you a happy new year and all the best for 2026. I think it's the first time I've been able to say it to anybody this morning. I was running around sorting things out when you all turned up, so welcome. It's lovely to see everybody. Two things. Number one is, for those on Zoom, if you've not seen the message on chat, you've had an email during this worship, which is relevant for something we're going to be talking about later. If you've got access to it, then please try and get hold of it, which means you've got something to do later as well. So just be warned. Every day is a school day. Thank you, Vicky. I have said previously, I love it when God works. And I'm already off script, so I'll just warn you. If you remember Mark's prayer at the beginning, he didn't know what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm covering some of what he prayed about, and that's about people that aren't free to worship. So that's the Holy Spirit moving. So before I go into what I've prepared, at this Christmas time, when we start a new year, let's get back into encouraging one another about how the Holy Spirit has done things in our lives. So if anybody has got anything they'd like to share with us now, please come forward. Don't all rush at once. Vicky, thank you. Should be working.
Most people know that we were very excited because James and Chloe and Sam were coming over from Switzerland. And if you described it with evidence, you would think it was awful because there was a sickness bug that came over with them on the plane. But it was the most amazing Christmas. We had Christmas Day all together with them and with Beth and the family. And it wasn't till Christmas night the bug struck. But it was a 24-hour bug, and while it obviously wasn't pleasant for the people who got it, it actually meant we really did chill. And we had the most amazing, gorgeous Christmas, and we were blessed. So if that ain't the Holy Spirit, I don't know what is.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't be shy. Okay. That's the same in the auction house. Oh, good, Helen. Excellent, thank you.
So you know that we've had problems with Ollie over the years, and I won't bore you with all that, but we had the most amazing Christmas, first one for years, where Fantastic. It's been amazing. And he wasn't with us on Christmas Day. He was at our house with his girlfriend, but he wanted me to come home, and I said, it's all right, you've got Daisy, and Daisy said, no, he wants you. So that was just
fabulous.
Priceless.
Super, thank you. And we should hang on to these encouragements, shouldn't we? Because I think I've said it before, it's the smallest of things that you think is insignificant, but actually warms our hearts. That was lovely, just to hear what Helen has said, knowing everything that she's gone through over the years. So yes, let's keep encouraging other with what's going on. Right, back to script.
Yay!
Last week, you'll remember we talked about being in between Christmas and New Year. And now, bam! It's already the 4th of January. Month's already flying through. How did that happen? But as an aside, did you know there's only 355 days to Christmas? Just putting it out there. Just putting it out there, that's all. I'm not even going to start the story. If you go to the supermarkets, Easter eggs will be out by now, but that's another story. A couple of weeks ago, Mark asked us when we should we traditionally take down our Christmas decorations, which is 12th night, which is tomorrow. So today is the 11th day of Christmas. So I think it's more than reasonable just to squeeze in one last talk about Christmas. And that's it then, Fiddle. Another 254 days. Sorry? Tuesday. Okay. There's always a couple of people picking up on this. Well, it's day 10, it's nearly the end of the 12 days. Look, you've just messed my preach up now. As I was thinking about this morning, I was reminded about the song that we often sing at this time of year, The 12 Days of Christmas. And I apologise now that you're probably going to be singing that song in your head for the rest of the week, or at least for the rest of today. So no apologies, but I bet you do. I mentioned this to Vicky yesterday, and then later on she was going, oh, 12th day of Christmas, material. She was already at it, so I got that earworm in. But did you know that in that song there is a strong Christian message? I think a couple of people in here do know, because we've talked about it from home. So I just wanted to expand on that a little bit more this morning as we exit Christmas time. The song itself is not all about different gifts that someone gives to their true love, or the strained in different gifts. How many people get 5 loads of leaping as a Christmas present? How do you wrap them up? Anyway, it's all secret and hidden. It's all a bit James Bondish, and you have to just work your way through it. Thank you. Pick a number between 1 and 12 on that one. But where does the story come from? And actually, it's rooted in history. The alleged story, and I say alleged carefully because there are some doubts over its origin, but it works, so you're going to get it anyway. Did you know that between 1558 and 1892, how many historians are here? David? Do you know what happened during that time, David? Can you remember? No, not surprised. I didn't know until I looked it up. English Parliament prohibited Catholics from practicing their faith privately or publicly. What did Mark pray about at the beginning? To be a Catholic was punishable by imprisonment or even death. So the old tradition, the story behind the 12 Days of Christmas, it was written as a catechism song for young Catholics, for them to learn the principles of their faith in secret. So during this time, it was written as a subtle way of celebrating Christ's birth in public without fear or risk of prosecution, or even worse, death. Although anecdotal, I find it's quite an interesting story, and I thought it was worth sharing that today. And each element of that song holds some form of symbolic reference. Don't know what's going on behind me. Symbolic significance, sorry. Secretly celebrating Christianity. So by understanding the deeper meaning of the song, it turns the song into something more meaningful and relevant. But not just at Christmas time, I think. And even today, and this is where I go back to what Mark said, in some countries it's still forbidden, as we all know, to worship and praise God openly and to share the gospel confidently with others, anytime and anywhere, within reason. And you could argue, and I'm not going to get into the politics, that even in this country, we're starting to see some restrictions. Like, for example, schools can't talk about the faith openly because we're a multi-faith country. So how are we going to react to that? How are we going to change? And how are we going to make sure that we don't fall victims of that? And last week I talked about what are we going to do differently in 2026. So I'm hoping today follows on from that a little bit. So this song, The 12 Days of Christmas, is a reminder of the blessings of our faith, of our hope and our love, encouraging reflection and gratitude during the Christmas season and beyond, for the whole of the year, the whole of 2026, 27, 28, onwards. And each of the 12 gifts have a significant or a meaning. So the first, the partridge in a pear tree, and I have a problem with this one because partridges are ground birds, they don't go in trees. So there you go, there's the first anomaly. Partridge in a pear tree, does anybody know what that stands for? Jesus Christ. So that's how the young Catholics would remember through the song, partridge, one Jesus Christ. Two turtle doves stands for the Old and New Testaments. You're all singing the song in your head now. Two turtle doves, three, four, eight, five. I told you I'll get you before the end of the thing, before the end of the morning, singing it in your heads. Three French hens, faith, hope, and charity. The four calling birds, the four Gospels. I've just heard somebody whisper it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 5 gold rings represents the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which are collectively known as, if I can pronounce this right, if there's any Greek scholars, you'll tell me, Pentateuch. Oh, I got that right, thank you. How do you know? Well done. Okay, gold star to Liz. Pentateuch. It's not interesting what he did. Pentateuch. Anyway, which is Greek for five books. Or in Hebrew, the word for law or teaching is Torah. So that's where that comes from. Six geese are laying, 6 days of creation. Seven swans are swimming signifies the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit. Eight maids are milking represents the Beatitudes. If you don't know what the Beatitudes are, ask your parents or your grandparents. No, seriously. The Beatitudes are part of the Sermon of the Mount and can be found in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Essentially, a short but powerful description of what it looks like to live life God's way. But at first glance, the Beatitudes can seem confusing, even for adults. But it's a whole new sermon on its own, which we're not going to do today, you'll be glad to hear. Nine ladies dancing? Anybody got any guesses? Thank you, I saw you looking. Yes, fruits of the Spirit, which we can read, gold star to Lindsay, which we can read around the room. And I'm not going to read it, well, I can read them all out. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We've got them around the room here. We've talked about them before. 10 lords are leaping, a little bit more obvious. 10 commandments, thank you, yes. 11 pipers standing. That 11 pipers piping, sorry. Stands for? Sorry? Yes, but why 11? Yes, 11 faithful disciples, because Judas wasn't faithful. And 12 drummers drumming symbolises the 12 points of belief in the Apostles' Creed. And some of you might say, what's the Apostles' Creed? The Apostles' Creed is a bit like a Christian ID card, isn't it? It identifies us as who we are as Christians. It's like a simple story about God the Father, our Creator, Jesus, his Son, our Saviour, who came to earth, died and came back to life to fix our friendship with God, and the Holy Spirit, who's God's helper in us, who's God's helper in us. All working together in one God, showing us how to live and what happens after we die as a promise of eternal life to him. Isn't that fascinating? I'm glad you said yes. Whether or not this story is true, or it's based on true occurrence, hearing the story gave me thought to just reflect upon that song. And each element of those lyrics, as we've just gone through them, gives a positive reason to celebrate Christianity. Why we should proclaim it, why we shouldn't hide it. Let's not keep our light under the bushel. With that deeper meaning, as we contemplate it, the song becomes a highlighted anthem of praise, really. It's almost like a worship song now, isn't it? Because it's got a completely different meaning if we bear those things in the back of our mind. But it's also a tribute to those who dared to celebrate in song their gratitude for Christ when they were living in persecution. It's the sort of thing that historically happens from time to time. And I remember once we were on holiday in Scotland, and there was a picture on the tabletop. And it just looked like a random piece of art. I don't know what that is. And then somebody got a silver tube and stuck it in the middle. And then the reflection from the art was a perfect portrait of King Charles, King somebody or other of Scotland. And again, through history, they were banned to have images of the king. And that was their way of hiding the picture. But if they wanted to remember who their king was, they stuck this tube down and they could see it. So all through history and still going on today, we sometimes have to be careful about how we say things and what we say and where we say it. We talked about that earlier, just like in schools. But it's not illegal to do so. And it's not wrong to do so. And we need to do so. So aren't we blessed to be able to worship our Saviour without fear or harm? maybe we should stand a little taller and be a little bit more open in sharing the gospel with those who don't yet know the truth. Aren't we blessed to have the scriptures and to be able to read and to ponder them? Could we spend a bit more time, though, reading those words which are openly available to us? Always is the right answer. It's easy to get access to. Do we still have something to learn? Do we still have something we can practice in order to truly understand faith, love, and hope? I think we do. Wouldn't it be good to be better acquainted with the fruits of the Spirit and be a better example of them? We've had a sermon on them before, as I said briefly earlier. Perhaps we should freshen up and have another series on them again. Watch this space. You never know. So to recap, first recap out of two I think I've got. We have seen how historically some people were restricted in their ability to meet together, to worship, to pray, to be taught and learn about Jesus. Last week I talked about New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year and how as Christians, how we may use this time to consider how we may change. What do we do and how do we do them? But let's come back to that in a little while. Just hold that thought about how we might change, do things different this year. But now the time for group interaction. The bit you've all been waiting for. The bit you've all been waiting for. Hooray! Oh, thank you. This is not just for the children, it is for the adults, on the basis that there's more adults than children this morning, so we're all doing this together. So let's see how well you've been listening. I'm going to give out some sheets. Can you put that back up for me, please, Steve? So this is quite easy, really. I was hoping there might have been some younger ones here, but it's just a refresher. So there is all the 12 songs on the first side and the second side of 12 Days of Christmas. And you'll see that where the words are, does this work? Oh, yes. There's a number under where the letters are. So the partridge in a pear tree. So you're going to put pear tree there. And where there is a one, it's a P. So wherever else on that sheet there is a one, you now know it's a P. And the rest of it. You're looking confused, Adrian. Are you all right? So there's the first seven. There's the remaining 12 minus 7 is 5. Thank you. And on the back, there's a table. So when you worked out what it is, you can write in there what the letter is. So one is P, two is E, and three is an A. Easy, this. Thank you, Mark. That's different, is that one? Yes, please. Thank you. You getting the drift? So you've got as long as it takes to hear the 12 Words of Christmas song twice, which is about 8 minutes and 20 seconds, if I'm right. So you will be going on singing this in your head, all right? Because we're going to use that table to solve a second puzzle in a second. This is. Your time starts.
Hang on.
Turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
else finished it? No? Okay. Well, Helen can have the first prize for finishing it. She can have a chocolate biscuit, look. Because not only did she finish it first, but she got a sheet last, so well done. There you go. Don't eat it all at once. We're going to play the song again in a minute, because you will be fed up with it, but Mark has given you a second sheet. I can just have the PowerPoint up again, please, Steve. Oh, no, yes, all right. The second sheet has just got lots of blanks with the numbers underneath it. So using the letters you've already got, and there's a sneak preview, if you're quick, you can write them down. That's what that table should look like. Using those letters, put it onto the second sheet that Mark's just given you, because it spells out a sentence. And if we don't finish that sheet, my sermon's finished, because we can't continue. So no pressure, but you might realise the first person to finish, there is a prize. That's just a bit of fun. I hope you managed to do some of that at home as well on Zoom, but you got the gist of it, hopefully. So encounter God through worship and prayer. So how does that fit in with what we were talking about earlier about making changes in the new year? Do we need to make more time in our busy lives to encounter God, to worship more, to pray more? I think the answer, if we're honest with ourselves, for all of us, is probably yes. There's always room for more, isn't there? So today is a good day to start to put that into practice. Mark's already mentioned that tonight is our, as we go into our usual week of prayer or half prayer as we're doing now, we're starting the week by having an encounter worship session this evening, where we can just come and worship God. Allow ourselves to be met by the Holy Spirit and allow him to speak to us and minister to us personally. We've got the five prayer sessions this week. Three in the mornings at 10 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Two in the evenings on Monday and Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And whether you are a regular to our week of prayer meetings or have never been able to make one, please do try and find time to come along to one, or all of them, or as many as you can or possibly able. We want everyone to feel included and be part of the vital prayer life of this church. And we've got so much as a church to pray for right now, haven't we?
Amen.
For Alistair and Catherine and the family as they prepare to move. For us as a church, as later this month we start the process to find a new minister. For the many people in our fellowship, and we've already heard of some of them, who are sick or suffering and are in need of a healing touch of our Lord. To make space and time to hear from God, either personally or as a church, to hear what he has, his plans for us. Because if we don't take that time, we'll just keep doing our own thing. We need to be able to sit and rest in his presence and see what he is speaking to us. We have to be open, which is why we pray with our arms out to receive from him. This week, for the week of prayer, the trustees haven't set a theme. We didn't want to limit our conversations with God just to our own personal agendas. We wanted it to be open to receive what he has got planned for us. Will you join us and be part of that next chapter of KBC life? Moving forward, what does it look like for you? For me, for all of us? What do we and what should we be doing differently? And I don't mean to pick out, but you know, this includes everybody. It includes the youngsters of our church as well. The youngsters are our church. Whether they're here this morning or whether they're at home, they are part of our church and we love them dearly. At the beginning, we talked about the meanings hidden in the 12 days of Christmas, about it being written as a catechism song. It's difficult to say that word, catechism song, to help young Catholics learn the principles of their faith. We've also talked about the beatitude and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Without a prayerful, Spirit-filled church for us to meet in, how can we grow and demonstrate those qualities to others in our community, to our not yet believing families, to those that come in and enter through those doors? Sometime this morning, I can't remember when it was, we were praying, it might not have been out the back, I can't remember when, but we talked about people that perhaps come through the doors who are not regulars to this church, may not be coming in as Christians, but need something. Friendship, support, love. And as soon as they walk through that door, that's what they're expecting. And do we give it? I think we do as a church. I think we're pretty good for that. But we can always improve. Always improve. So we hope you'll be able to be part of this important week in the church life. See you there. If you're unable to make it, which is quite possible, we understand people have got commitments, work, other things going on in their lives. But just please try and spare some quiet time, maybe in your own home or while you're driving or wherever you may be. And finally, unlike the song, let's not be secretive about our faith. Let each element of that song, that whole symbolic significance, remind us that we don't need and shouldn't secretly celebrate Christianity and our faith. Let's publicly proclaim it each and every day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.